In 1968, in the Summer Olympics, a runner from Tanzania called John Stephen Akwari was running, and partway through the race he fell to the ground and badly injured his knee and dislocated it. He also smashed his shoulder against the pavement, and most of the observers looking on, seeing his injuries, assumed that he would pull out of the race and go to hospital. But instead he got up and he kept on running as best he could and limped to the finishing line and finished last. And some reporters asked him afterwards why he kept going. And his reply was this: "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Friends, as I was thinking and praying about what I'd like to share with you for a short time this morning, I felt I'd like to speak to you about the importance of finishing well. The importance of finishing well. In the verses that we read together, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of the importance of finishing well. And I want us to focus our thoughts this morning mainly around verse 24 and use it as a springboard to look together at these final verses in chapter 20 of Acts. Verse 24, the Apostle Paul says this: "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Just to set the context, the Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to the elders from Ephesus. He asked them to meet him at Miletus to avoid him going all the way to Ephesus, as he wanted to be in Jerusalem before Pentecost. We know that Paul visited Ephesus on two occasions. On one occasion, as we read, he stayed there for 3 years. And Timothy was the first pastor there. I think the thing that makes these words particularly poignant is the fact that they were Paul's final words in person, knowing that he wouldn't see these men again. He knew these men well. They had served together. They had suffered together. They had wept together. And therefore, Paul chose his words carefully. Verse 16, we didn't take time to read the whole chapter, but we read that he was in a hurry. He wasn't going to waste his time on trivialities. No doubt he had thought and reflected well. What are the important things I need to be saying to these men? I'm in a hurry. My time's limited. And he was going to focus on the things that were really important. Saying goodbye to people we love is never easy, is it? I'm sure we all know what it feels like, saying goodbye to people that we love. And final words from people we love are words that we remember. My mother passed away just at the beginning of COVID. She was in her early 90s. She loved the Lord. But just an hour before she passed away, I spoke to her on the phone. And I'll not forget those words just before the Lord took her home. We remember final words. And so note briefly with me here that Paul, as he speaks these final words, I want you to notice, first of all, Paul speaks here in verse 24 of a life worth giving. A life worth giving. Look in verse 24, he says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." The Apostle Paul had an extraordinary life, hadn't he? He was a zealous Jew, well taught in the Jewish law. He was so passionate that he did all in his power to destroy the early church. He saw the church as a sect, and he was on his way to Damascus to root out any Christians he could find and bring them to Jerusalem. And as he approached Damascus, he had a meeting with the Lord Jesus that transformed his life. Just like Maria that we heard about earlier, Jesus transformed his life. His life was completely changed. His priorities, his ambitions, his reason for living. And now instead of persecuting the church, he's now following Jesus and shortly preaching that Jesus indeed was the Son of God. What a transformation in his life. And when the Jews, of course, heard about it, they conspired to kill him. So he escaped during the night and he returned to Jerusalem. And so great was the change that when he tried to join the church, they were frightened of him. We read in Acts 9, verse 26, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. I guess to use a up-to-date illustration, it would be like someone from Al-Qaeda or Jihadi group or whatever coming along and wanting to join our church. Well, we might be a wee bit apprehensive. We mightn't be too sure for a wee while. And this, here these people were very frightened. But here was Paul. His life had been completely transformed. And fast forward now many years. And here is Paul. He's testifying to the Ephesian elders. And he says, none of these things move me. He says, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Paul's saying goodbye to these men that he had worked with. He's well aware that still ahead of him were trials and imprisonment. Notice verse 22, he says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But Paul says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. What was he saying here? He's saying, men, it doesn't matter anymore about my physical life. I just want to keep on, keeping on making Jesus known. Notice it's in the present tense. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. Many years had passed since his conversion on the Damascus Road. He had suffered much, but friends, his testimony was up to date. He wasn't going to settle down. He wasn't going to cruise to the finishing line. You can imagine maybe some of the elders said to him, but Paul, do you realize what's ahead? Don't you realize the danger that's ahead? Is it not time to settle down and let some of the younger men take the risk? You've done your bit. Put the bedroom slippers on and take it easy. But no, here Paul, he's pressing on, friends. He's not going to stop. He realizes that his reward is ahead. And he says, I don't count my life dear to myself. What about you and me this morning and this Mission Sunday morning? It's easy, isn't it, when we first become Christians, we want to go out and we want to tell the world, don't we? But what about today? Can we say like Paul did, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself? Present tense. Paul reminds us here, friends, that his life was a life worth giving. A life surrendered to Jesus. Not only was it a life worth giving, but you'll notice Paul also said here, it's a race worth finishing. Look again at verse 24. He says, I don't count my life dear to myself. Why? so that I may finish my course with joy, that I may finish my race with joy. You're well aware this morning that Paul often uses the analogy of a race to illustrate the Christian life. When writing to the church at Philippi, there in Philippians 3, remember how he said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We've already noted how Paul had entered the race, but his desire was that he would finish the race. He wanted to finish it and finish it well. Finish it, he said, with joy. And he longed to see him for the Ephesian elders, saying goodbye to them. Oh, he wanted them to keep on keeping on. He wanted to see them finishing the race with joy. He longed that they would finish well. And notice in verse 28, he continues, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn. I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Take heed, Paul says. Take heed to who? To yourselves. Notice Paul here, he puts the priority not on looking after the flock, but the priority, first of all, is on the elders' own lives. Since these men are shepherds of God's people, they must pay attention to their own walk with God. Paul says, I want to finish my race, but I want you to finish it well too. He says that I may finish my race with joy. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone today. I don't know very many of you. But perhaps for one reason or another, you have got injured in the race. Perhaps you've been bruised and got hurt. Maybe hurt by someone else. Someone has said that as Christians, sometimes we're the only soldiers that shoot at one another. And that's true, isn't it, often? And maybe you felt like quitting. And I just want to encourage you this morning to keep on running. I want to encourage you to keep on running and finish the race by his grace. Because, dear friend, this morning it's a race worth finishing. It's a race worth finishing. We praise God this morning for his amazing grace, don't we? His patience with us. Time and time again when we fall and when we fail, how God comes to us and restores us. And we can keep on running. Maybe this morning you feel there's no hope. You've run in the past, but you feel as if somehow you're out of the race. Dear friend, I want to remind you this morning of God's amazing grace. He longs to restore. He longs to lift up the fallen. He longs to heal the bruised. He's gracious. He's loving. He's kind. He's everything that a father could ever be. And Paul here, he's saying, oh, he says, I want to finish this race, but I want to finish it with joy. We see a life worth giving. And it's a race worth finishing. But friends, in closing this morning, I want you to notice also that it's a ministry worth completing. A ministry worth completing. Look at verse 24 again. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. To do what? To testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You see, here was Paul. He was very focused. He was saying here, he said, I just don't want to finish the race. But he said, I want to complete the ministry. The ministry that, who was it gave it to him? The ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, there's something about the spirit of Paul's that warms our heart, friends, isn't there? Paul, yes, he knew the danger ahead. He knew that he could lose his life. He knew that there would be trials and persecutions. But he said, I have to keep going. You know, I praise God that God's still raising up people like that. I've spoken to people this week in UFM, people who are interested in linking up with us, with that same spirit. I spoke to a young couple the other day, and they want to serve in a country that I couldn't name today, where it's risky to be a Christian, and it's certainly risky to be a missionary. But they have sensed the call of God, and they're prepared to risk it. They're prepared to take a risk. Risk is right, isn't it? As John Piper has said in his little book, risk is right. And here was Paul, prepared to risk everything, because he knew his life was in God's hands, and he wanted to finish his course with joy. And he said here, as he was leaving, he reminds them that it was a ministry worth completing. He reminds them in verse 27, he says, I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He goes on there through again, warns them. He warns them not just to take care of themselves, but to look out. There's going to be wolves, the savage wolves who will come in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, look out, there's going to be those who rise up even in your own company. And he warns them as shepherds that they mustn't just provide for the sheep, but they must protect their sheep. There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be those coming in. They're going to seek to destroy the flock. And they would come from their own number, verse 30. Paul says, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Perhaps these men felt overwhelmed. Perhaps they felt inadequate. How could they do it? Notice verse 32, what Paul says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Paul was moving on. He couldn't protect them. He couldn't keep them. But he knew the one who could. He knew that God could protect them. He committed them to God, the word of his grace. He recognized it was the word of God which would build them up. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Oh, friends, how important it is for us to sit under the word. How important it is for us to be reading the word every day. It's the word that will build us up this year. It's the word that will help us to grow. It's the word that will enable us to live a life that brings glory to the Lord. He commended to the Lord and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. And Paul reminds him there of the example of his own life in ministry, even in relation to finance. He reminds them, verse 33, he says, I've coveted no one's money, silver or gold. He says, you know how I worked with my own hands times. And he said, He said, I've shown you an example. I've showed you in every way. By laboring this, you must support the weak. Well, he feared the damage these wolves were going to cause. And he just said to them, remember how I served. By God's grace, remember the example. And he said these things. He knelt down and prayed with them. And they fell on his neck and kissed him. So, sorrowing most of all for the fact they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Paul's goodbye to the Ephesian elders. The importance of finishing well. He says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And friends, as I close, the interesting thing is this, as Paul said goodbye, how did things work out for the church at Ephesus? Well, the sad thing is that if you fast forward 30 years, we read in Revelation chapter 2 these words from Jesus to the church at Ephesus. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. The Lord commended the church for many, many things. They were conservative, they were evangelical, they were everything in terms of having persevered and labored. But he says, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Perhaps that describes you this morning. Perhaps you recognize that you don't love the Savior as you once loved him. If that's the case, you can return this morning. And as I said earlier, you can ask the Lord to forgive you and to give you grace to keep on running the race and to complete the ministry that he has given to you. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you've never started the race. Perhaps you love coming along each Sunday, worshiping with God's people, but you've never experienced what Maria experienced. And you've never experienced what Paul experienced. Well, the good news is you can come to Jesus today. If the Lord is speaking to you, you can come and put your trust in him and you'll prove his amazing grace. Let's pray as we close. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for these words of the Apostle Paul, Lord. We thank you for the fact that he kept on going. We thank you, dear Father, that he didn't quit. We thank you that by your grace, he persevered and he finished well. And Lord, we would pray that for all of us. And we realize, Lord, that it's only by your grace. We pray, Lord, that we might finish well by your grace, that we might complete the ministry that you have given to each of us to testify to the gospel of your grace. So, Father, we pray that you'll write your word on all of our hearts. Pray if there's any today in their service this morning and as yet they have never experienced your grace, we pray that even this morning they would come and trust you. Pray if there are those today and somehow they have stopped running in the race, Father, perhaps because of getting hurt in the past. Oh, we pray today, Lord, that you would come and restore them, we pray, Lord, that they might get back and run well in the race by your grace. So we look to you in Jesus' name.